Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yeah. Come on. You know what I want to.
What you want? What you want? What you want? What you want? What you want?
I want a puppy for Hanukkah.
Want a puppy? Want a puppy? Want a puppy? Want a puppy? Want a puppy?
And I'ma get just what I wanted, yep. I'ma get a puppy for Hanukkah.
Get a puppy, get a puppy, get a puppy, get a puppy, get a puppy.
Some kids write lists for their Christmas gifts, and they send them all off to their Santas. But I don't trip off a list for my gift. I'ma get it cause I got 8 chances. That's right, 8 nights, festival of lights. Go hard for a week with a plus one. So y'all keep stressing, be good, learn lessons. But Hanukkah is the best fun. And you can laugh if you want to.
To be digged with a modern classic, Hanukkah Puppy. As night fell yesterday, darkness brought with it the beginning of Hanukkah. And a podcast I like to listen to called Unorthodox put it this way. Hanukkah is not Jewish Christmas. It's its own thing. And with it coming early this year, Hanukkah has the spotlight all this week. And like every holiday, there are culinary traditions and family stories that accompany the festivities. But not every family or culture celebrates the holiday the same way. Each person's history, stories, and recipes are different. Still, everyone who observes Hanukkah has a certain nostalgia for the smells and the tastes of the holidays and all those memories that go along. So listeners, how are you planning to spend the holiday? What is on your menu? Do you have any family recipes that you make each year, or a certain memory attached to a dish, or a way your family celebrates Hanukkah specially? We would like to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at all of it, WNYC. Tell us what Hanukkah is meaning to you this year. We want to hear all about your family traditions. Joining me now to walk us through various culinary traditions of Hanukkah around the world is Amanda Dell, Program Manager for the Jewish Food Society and host of the podcast Schmaltzy. Hi, welcome back, Amanda.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me again.
So before we get into the dishes our listeners serve, let's talk about the actual traditions of the holiday. I'm going all the way back to basics. The origin and purpose of Hanukkah. What is it?
Sure thing. Happy to get into that. First of all, I just wanted to say I've never heard the Hanukkah Puppy song before. Oh. And I hope my family is listening. Hint, hint. That was incredible.
It is 3 minutes and 46 seconds of delightfulness. So right as soon as this is over, you go listen.
I'm happy to share, you know, just a little bit about, I think, the story that, you know, most people know well about Hanukkah, and how and why, you know, we celebrate it. It goes way back to, you know, the reclaiming of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, and the Maccabee soldiers and army were victorious against the Assyrians in winning back Jerusalem, and they wanted to rededicate the temple. So when they did that, they wanted to light a menorah, and they found oil that from their assumption would only last, you know, about one day. And it actually lasted for 8. So that's why, you know, we light candles for 8 nights, and we commemorate this special, some people call it a miracle of Hanukkah. And, you know, in a lot of the foods, as we're, I'm sure we're going to talk about, people often, you know, cook using oil and make foods that are fried. So also, you know, to nod to and remember this oil.
As program director of the Jewish Food Society, when you think about the intersection of food and tradition, why is food a great way to preserve tradition and history?
It's beyond a great way to preserve these things. And just quickly to share a little bit about our work at Jewish Food Society and what we're doing, which is right, you know, which falls exactly in line with that, is we're a nonprofit organization. We're based in New York. And we have a simple mission, which is to preserve, celebrate, and revitalize Jewish culinary heritage from all around the world. And we're building an online archive of family recipes and the stories that are behind them from places, you know, as far apart as Ethiopia, as Sweden, as, you know, even Rome, and of course, right here in New York. And we have close to 1,000 recipes right now. And we're adding more each week. And, you know, we have found that preserving these family traditions, you know, going into people's homes in the before times, cooking with them, getting the knowledge from the older generations, you know, about these recipes is so powerful. And also our work is, I find, incredibly interesting because, which I'll hopefully talk about a little more, it's the new generation really taking these traditions, preserving them, but also putting their own spin on them, you know, modernizing them or adding elements to make them their own. So, you know, food and sitting together, you know, at a table can just be so, you know, incredibly powerful. And especially, you know, as hopefully some people will want to gather, you know, in smaller groups this year, definitely a big change from last year.
You mentioned that enormous amounts of recipes. How does the Jewish Food Society go about finding these recipes and stories to share?
Great question. We have a variety of ways, you know, that we do that, from, you know, our own networks and reaching out to friends, relatives, friends of friends. We also, you know, do basically each set of recipes or recipe that we share is accompanied by a narrative essay about that person's family and how those recipes relate to their family's history. We also receive many, many submissions. You can submit your family recipe for a chance to be featured on the archive at jewishfoodsociety.org. So it's a good old fashioned, you know, combination of a lot of things, a lot of word of mouth. Some, you know, people find us digitally, you know, on the internet, on our website, on Instagram. And so we're receiving, you know, submissions from all different sources.
My guest is Amanda Dell, Program Director of the Jewish Food Society and host the podcast Schmalzi. You're my guest as well. Listeners, let's take a couple of calls. Let's go to line one. Adina calling in from Sunnyside, Queens. Hi, Adina.
Hi, Allison. Thanks so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks so much. Let me hear about your family's traditions.
Sure. So I grew up celebrating Hanukkah, and we always had latkes. But now that I'm older and have traditions myself, I found a new recipe for latkes, and I think it kind of actually is better than my family's original recipe. So now we make my recipe, and even actually my husband's family, who's not Jewish, I introduce latkes to them, and they even use this recipe as well. So they kind of share with us in the celebration.
All right. What's better about it, your recipe?
It's actually a recipe from New York Times from, I think, Kim Severson. And I think it has just like more eggs and a little bit more binder using moss meal. And she kind of has the trick of getting the potato starch to settle at the bottom. And I really do think that makes a difference.
Adina, thanks for the tips. We appreciate it. Happy Hanukkah to you. Let's go to Paul calling in from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Allison. Chag Sameach.
I'm not going to even try to say it, but that wonderful greeting back to you. I'm not even going to try.
Yes. It's the traditional. It's the Hebrew greeting for Hanukkah at any festival. It literally means happy festival in Hebrew. You normally say it.
All right. Yes. Somebody on my team has put it in the Slack for me. All right. Tell us about your tradition.
Okay. So normally, after lighting candles on the first night, and I suppose any other night as well, you would sing Ma'otzur, M-A-O-Z-T-Z-U-R for your team, or any other traditional Jewish song or melody. But my family and I have started the tradition of singing or of listening to the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song after.
Who started that tradition, by the way? Paul.
Actually, technically, it was me. It was technically me, like, 2 years ago. I was like, I'm done with the whole, like, Mao Zor. Like, it's fun, but let's hear SNL.
Paul, thank you so much for calling in. Listeners, we want to get you in on this team, all of it, who are celebrating Hanukkah. We want to hear from you. What does Hanukkah mean to you? Do you have any recipes or family stories that you can tell us about the holidays? 212-433-WNYC. Maybe there's a recipe that's been passed down from your great-grandma to your grandma to your mom and now to you. Or is there any specific dish, taste, or smell from Hanukkah that you associate with the holiday, or maybe your family puts a different spin on it, like Paul's does. We want to hear from you as well, 212-433-9692. We have actually, my son is half black and half Jewish. He's bluish, as we say. And his tradition with his father is, we call it hoodie Hanukkah. He gets a hoodie every night. And it sets him up for, it's hoodie Hanukkah. He sets him up for the whole winter because he has something warm to wear. And it's become a thing, like finding the hoodies every, he lives for it, one a night. It's become this really sort of fun, sweet thing between him and his dad. It's nice to be able to sort of figure out new ways to introduce traditions, don't you think?
I love that. It's practical and fun.
Before we leave your Jewish Food Society work, I did want to ask you about a story you published. And this is what I understand it to be. And please correct me if I'm wrong. It's about a Jewish family that lived in Belarus, Poland, Chile, Puerto Rico, and now based in Miami.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. So on our archive, we shared for Hanukkah this year, a family story about Joel Linkower, who lives currently in Miami, and his family had, you know, an amazing journey before finally residing in Miami. They're, as you've mentioned, mm-hmm. was originally from Belarus, then moved around to Chile, Puerto Rico, now in Miami. And so their Hanukkah table is really like a map of all of the places that their family has lived. And I think what's really interesting a lot of the times about, you know, Jewish food and how we, you know, think about it is that a lot of times these culinary traditions are really a result of, you know, Shabbat and other Jewish holidays, you know, kosher laws, and then in kind of negotiation and in collaboration with the local food traditions of each region where Jews have lived. So on Joel's table, you know, they serve fried blintzes. So blintzes are kind of a traditional Ashkenazi food that are usually stuffed and kind of rolled up dough, and they fry theirs. And then on their Hanukkah table, they're also sharing tostones, which is like a fried plantain. And then for some freshness, they put ceviche. They also add ceviche. And I think that's kind of like a you know, something that came from Puerto Rico that they now, you know, also serve in Miami. So it's a really delicious and vibrant and a little bit different Hanukkah table. And you can, you know, learn more about Joel's family story. And we have all of those recipes on our archive.
Janice via Twitter says, I grew up in South Africa and we never celebrated it other than my grandfather handing me some Hanukkah coins. It's wonderful celebrating it so wonderfully in the USA. Happy Hanukkah, Janice. Let's go to line two. Tom calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling all of it.
Hi. Long time listener, first time caller. Happy holidays and Chag Sameach. My tradition... Thank you. My tradition is, ever since I moved to New York from California, to video chat with my family on a small phone and light candles together. But usually I have to wait until 8:30 for it to get dark on the West Coast time.
Right. That's so that's funny. Tom, thank you so much for calling in, and happy holidays to you. Let's see if we can get to, I think Holly is calling in from Maryland on line five. Hi, Holly. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Allison. Love your show. My daughter sounds like your son in his background. So we are culturally Jewish, and I have my grandmother's menorah, which was given to me. And since we're not practicing Jews, but we do every Hanukkah light a candle, and we both say what we're thankful for. And that's our tradition.
It's a lovely tradition. Thank you for calling in and sharing it. Can we go to line three? Let's talk to Jackie calling in from Huntington. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for calling all of it.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Tell us about your traditions.
Well, my main tradition that stands out for Hanukkah, besides the presents and lighting candles, is my father's latke recipe. He passed away about 7 or 8 years ago, and his latkes are unlike any other latke that I've had anywhere else. They're passed down. He was born in Czechoslovakia, so I'm guessing they're his mother's recipe as well.
Do you love them?
Go ahead. So what makes them different is that they don't have onions, they don't have flour, it's just potatoes and latkes, and potatoes and eggs, and it has like a pancake batter consistency, and salt and pepper, and they're just wonderful. And people ask if do you like sour cream or applesauce with your latkes, and I'm like, well, with other people's latkes, I'll take either one, but with my father's, you don't need anything. They're just perfect.
They're just perfect. I love that.
Wow. Strong endorsement.
So, Amanda, how do we get to just perfect latkes? I don't know if we can get to Jackie's. Ooh. I'm not sure. But let me, please give us some guidance.
Yeah. Well, I loved listening to Jackie's anecdote, because latkes are actually something that my dad makes. And he is very particular about them. And it is a recipe, also that my grandmother made, his mother. My dad is a traditionalist when it comes to latkes. So his recipe is like almost the same as Jackie's dad, but he does use onion. And I think he likes a more textured grate in the potato. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very simple, it's just potato, onion, egg. He also doesn't use, any binder, but we have quite a few recipes on our archive, that do. And I can't choose favorites. So that would be like choosing, a favorite child or something like that. I'm here to share, different diverse traditions, and I can definitely speak to my own. And Jackie really, of course, also went for, the jugular by talking about the debate over applesauce or sour cream. But what I think that the tip that I will give, and of course, happy to, talk about any other questions that people have, is really wringing out and making sure that the potato mixture is, has time to drain and gets as dry as possible.
Let's go to Deborah.
That's my tip.
It's a good one. And you're, and you're right. Let's go to Deborah on line 6, calling in from Westchester. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you for having me. We have a couple of different traditions in our house. We're Sephardic Jews. So one of the things my grandmother always made were bimuelos, which is basically fried fritters. They're flour, baking powder, cinnamon, milk, and egg. Mm. And then we put our favorite Nutella or syrup on them, and that's a part of our meal as much as latkes are. And my girls make them now, and they're always introducing their non-Jewish friends and even their Jewish friends to them, because most people are not familiar with them. We also sing a really cool song you may have heard of called Una Candelicas. It's a Ladino song. Ladino is a Hebrew-Spanish language that is not used very much, but a lot of Sephardic Jews that originated from Spain did speak that. And I think a lot of Sephardic synagogues, I know my father's does, still uses that in these services. Hmm. And then the other sort of cool special thing is that my kids just love. When my husband and I got married, my mother gave us a beautiful museum quality menorah, or Chanukiah, which I guess is another conversation to have. And we started inviting friends and family over when the girls were very little. And slowly but surely, I started collecting these beautiful museum-quality menorahs, in addition to their beautiful creations that they made when they were in nursery school. And now whenever family and friends come over, every family, or if it's individuals and we have enough room, every person can get their own menorah. And when we light the Hanukkiahs and say the blessings, they're all along the sideboard in our dining room alongside windows. So it's the most magical sight, with like hundreds of lights.
Oh my gosh.
Reflecting off the windows from all of these menorahs. Don't worry, we have aluminum foil down.
Thank you so much, Deborah. How beautiful did that sound? And quickly, I want to get Rachel in here because she's been holding for a long time. Rachel, can you shout out real quick?
Yeah, hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting all these great ideas. We light a menorah for each of the kids because they got them when they were babies. But we live in a very non-Jewish town, and I've always decorated the front of our house just like everybody else does, so they wouldn't feel left out. Hanukkah blue and white lights and inflatables. But what I mainly wanted to talk about is that when I was a kid, my parents used to give us a little present every night. So I've been doing that for my kids their whole lives. They get to open a gift each night, and it could be something little like lip balm, or it could be something big like a CD. This year, because they're teenagers, I'm having them draw a random slip every night. So it either says D for present or N for no. They're going to get four presents. So last night they both got N's, so they were very disappointed.
You are a practical woman, Rachel. Amanda, as we sort of wrap up, by the way, someone said, is an Instagram tip, use a salad spinner to make sure you get the water out of the potatoes for spins.
Oh, wow.
It always works. Good
tip. That is a good tip.
Is there anything you want to leave listeners with that you think doesn't get discussed enough at Hanukkah?
Sure. A couple of quick things. I think one, you know, this is just, I really want to let, you know, to implore everyone to reach out to your older relatives, whether that's calling them, whether that's on Zoom, you know, ask them what recipes and what traditions, you know, brought them comfort in these, you know, still difficult times that we're in. And really listen and, you know, absorb their answers and maybe ask them, you know, some of what their favorite Hanukkah foods are, or maybe Hanukkah traditions that you don't know about. Yeah. So I would encourage everyone to do that. And speaking, and I know we talked to someone from California, there's two quick Laka related events that I would love to mention. And we're Food Society is hitting both coasts. So on December 5th, the last night of Hanukkah, we're actually doing a live version of Schmaltzy, our storytelling event, in collaboration with New Roots and the Jewish Federation of Los Angeles. You can find information about that, you know, on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we will be in New York in Union Square Green Market on Wednesday with our culinary director, Ariel Neer, who's going to be doing a latke demo. So come say hi to us. We love being in the market, and it's a joy to be there in person with everyone.
Amanda Dell is program director of the Jewish Food Society and host of the podcast Schmaltzy. Thank you so much for being with us, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Hanukkah.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.